This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship. For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org or call 800-698-7884.
Yeah, it's great to have you here as a testament. Well, we started VBS 10 years ago, and my goal was, I thought it'd be great. All churches do VBS, so we ought to do VBS. And so that was kind of why I did it, but I also wanted the kids. The focus was on learning the Bible and helping the kids to, you know, and to have a lot of fun. And that was pretty much it at that point. And we've gone back and forth and up and down, and God's brought questions into our minds and all that over the years. And so I thought I'd just kind of go through how we process to where we are and, you know, help you to think through. I read the book Good to Great that Jim Leffel mentioned last night. I read that about a year ago, and it was very inspiring to me because these big companies didn't know why they were great, you know, and what the book is about is the research that they did to find out what made these companies great and came up with the principles. And that's kind of how we've done it, you know. We've found what works and what doesn't work, and it's not that we came up with these great, oh yes, these are the principles we need to go by. But as I think back over the process as God's taken us through it, how there are specific questions that we've been forced to ask and look at the bigger picture. So that's what I thought we'd kind of do in figuring out how to develop, how you develop a philosophy. There are some questions that will help us clarify that. And the first one is, what's the purpose of the church? And if we step back and, you know, obviously Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and it's not only to go into the world, but it's to go into the world and make disciples. So it's more than just sharing Christ. It's trying to help incorporate and build discipleship in. And then, of course, Acts 1:8 is going again to the world. So what's the scriptural responsibility to our children? You know, what's the Bible say? Well, Deuteronomy 6, most people know that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Hi, Linda. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So clearly, it's about our life. And so we're modeling. This is Linda Schultz. She's in our Schuber, I'm sorry. She's a member of Xenos as well. So it's a modeling and an instructing of the of our kids. And so it's a lifestyle. And we're supposed to model it and instruct it. And then obviously we're to teach and train, Proverbs 22:6, that we train up a child in the way he should go. And this book by Donna Thomas is an excellent book. The first four chapters really lay the foundation, the biblical foundation for becoming a world-changing family. And she calls them Great Commission families. And she lays the foundation in the first four chapters, and then the rest of the book is about great ideas and how to incorporate your kids into lifestyle evangelism. But she has a quote from a man who was in his 30s, and he says, "In retrospect, I would say that because of the choices my parents made and the opportunities they brought before us, everyone in our family came to understand that we needed to share our lives and our faith in Jesus with all kinds of people. Our family's experiences continue to influence my life today, and also the way I'm raising my children." So he's understood, and he's gotten that, what his parents taught and modeled and so forth. And so this is, you know, one of the questions, you know, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to teach and model. But what are God's goals for our kids? You know, in other words, can kids really be used by God? Or is this work really just adult work? You know, the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself, and the Great Commission, is that really just the work that the adults do? And I think Well, George Barna does a great job of his research, and then, you know, writing the research it's everything that I've believed for a long time, and a lot of people have not been on board with. But I think if we're serious about raising our kids to be walking believers, then we have to give them significant opportunities to do God's work from a very young age. You know, even a 3-year-old can ask a friend to come to Vacation Bible School with them, and that begins to set the stage and help those kids to have that lifestyle and that the perspective of what God wants for them. We've got a great gal in this church, Cindy Freed, who is on the Oasis staff, and she has had a vision and a burden to raise up, even from third grade. We've got a program called Student Leadership in our Oasis program, and she goes in and to find out who the student leaders are in the classrooms and helps to give them roles in the classroom, so among their peers. And then as they get into middle school, they come back and help out in the classrooms and on up through high school. And the college kids then go back to the high school and lead groups. But she's really mobilized these kids. She's training the teachers in the classrooms to train the kids. And we figured out last week that if we had all of our students, we have 4 meetings, and if the student assistants, just the ones who are qualified to work as an adult, because they're responsible enough, because they can teach, because they know how to relate to the kids, we could staff an entire central teaching of 17 classrooms with just our student assistants. It's been an awesome thing to watch these kids grow up and learn to serve. Donna Thomas says, your children are with you a few short years, and you only live this life once. You can't go back. So the burden and vision of her book is for parents to actively and intentionally develop into Great Commission families, whose priority is to intentionally connect with all kinds of people for the purpose of loving and sharing the love of Christ. They have a biblical understanding of their purpose on this earth and a burden for the lost in every culture. With so many things vying for our attention, she reminds us that we must continually evaluate and reevaluate our lives and our lifestyle. Are we spending our lives the way God wants us to? And if not, what would the Lord have us do? Do we prioritize the things that have eternal value? And she and Barna both go into the importance of recognizing that if we're not prioritizing our kids' spiritual development, then we're missing the boat entirely. That, in this culture, academics and sports and all those things are just awesome things, but we can use those things as a vehicle to teach people, to share Christ with other people, but if spiritual life is not prioritized, then we're missing the boat. So we give kids an opportunity to do real work and to recognize that if, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when our kids get to be about fourth grade, they know it all. Thank you very much. You know, you can't teach them anymore. They've got it all figured out. And so we better be teaching them how to use it and to pass it on, or they are going to be bored. And so our kids have an opportunity to come and hear the truth every week. And so let's figure out a way to help them go out and tell other people what they know and use it and start to see it at work. And they're going to be more hungry to learn deeper things in the Bible. Consider this quote from Sherry Fuller. This is another good book. For some reason, we adults do not expect much from our children when it comes to prayer. But when children accept Jesus Christ into their lives, they do not receive a junior version of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. To dwell within them. It's the same Holy Spirit that dwells within us, helping and guiding us in every way, including when we pray, including when we reach out, all those things. And that really struck me because I think we've got a wrong perspective that because kids can't understand abstract thoughts, they can't understand spiritual truths. Well, the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that indwells kids. And I've seen kids have a real burden for other people and being able to understand some pretty significant spiritual truths that we wouldn't give them credit for. And Barna says, during their formative years, children develop their decision-making perspectives and patterns. Helping them in that process is one of the most important responsibilities we have as humans. Engaging them at a young age is a critical strategic choice. So I think, you know, the point is here, what we've realized, we don't have to dichotomize by saying, oh, it's not a good idea to let our kids come and have a fun time and have a blast. We can do that, but at the same time be training them in a lifestyle of evangelism, in a lifestyle of serving and loving other kids, reaching out to other kids, and praying for those other kids that are coming in. So we can multitask. So what are some of the stumbling blocks to that whole idea? If we wanted to change our paradigm or think, you know, differently about VBS, what would some of the stumbling blocks be? I mean, tradition is one. We've always done it that way. And there's nothing wrong with providing a fun program for our kids. It's awesome to be able to watch that, but is that the biblical perspective of the church? Is that the purpose we're here? And there are a lot of good things we can be doing. But one of the greatest things we can do is to help our kids learn how to reach out and share Christ with other people. So tradition would be one. You guys might think of others as we go along, so jump in here. I think fear is another one I thought of because I have six granddaughters. And they, you know, thinking about, okay, what if one of my granddaughters prays for someone to come to VBS and then nobody comes through, you know? God is, you know, what's that going to happen? What's that going to do to their faith? And it was like, oh, yeah, and so where are you, Kathy, and your belief about what God wants for them? Barna says, we tend toward assurance that the next generation will have a better life than we've had. And unfortunately, we often define that life as the presence of comfort and security and the absence of hardship and disappointment. And although it's well-intentioned, the attempt to buy experiences and environments that foster a soft and satisfying lifestyle is an unbiblical standard, understanding of the good life. You know, God did give us the role of protecting our kids. We don't want them to suffer, and we shouldn't. There'd be something really wrong about that if we wanted them to. But if we understand that our life, this life, is a participation in a spiritual battle, we got to do the best we can to prepare them for that battle instead of protect them from it. And when we think about the existence of difficulties and trials, what does God say about that? And what does he want? You know, what does he want to use? What does he use those trials for? Right, strengthen our faith. So if we protect them from disappointments and all those things, then we're protecting them from God, which is really, when you think of it that way, that's a pretty awful thing to come to. Yeah. So the route to significance and success, Barna says, is that demands that we develop the moral and spiritual foundations. And we can strive to give our youngsters all the advantages the world has to offer and motivate them to make the most of opportunities. But if their spiritual life isn't prioritized and nurtured, they're going to miss out on the meaning and purpose of life. And when I took that whole fear thing down to what's really at the root of it, it's unbelief. It's unbelief that God knows our child, like you said, Linda, better than we do, that he's sovereign. And it's, you know, do I not believe that he has the ability to show himself? If he loves my granddaughters and wants a relationship with them, he's not going to rip them off. He's going to figure out a way to draw them in and to build a relationship with them. One that I realized was part of my problem is this, my own personal struggle with evangelism. I've blown it enough times, and I'm your typical answer person. I just want to give you the answer and move on, and I lack patience. And so I've not had a lot of success, so it's become a duty and obligation, you know, instead of joy and fulfillment. And so that's, you know, I realized that's what I'm going to pass on to my grandkids, if that's the way I feel about it. I can't change that, but I can go to God and be honest with Him about it, ask for friends to pray for me, to help change my heart, and to even admit that to my granddaughters and say, you know, let's work together, let's pray together. You pray for me that God will soften my heart and help me have the right attitudes. And I'm beginning to see that happen, and it's very exciting. So I think we need to, I think a lot of these are more our issues than they are kids' issues. We undervalue children, too. Barna says that we often view children as the lost leader, the bait that enables the church to land the real treasure of the adults, rather than as a valuable, unrefined treasure. And it's true. I mean, we've battled that in here for years, you know. Oh, the OASIS program's a babysitting service while the parents are in, you know, to give the kids something to do so the parents can go in. They don't see it as a training ground or an opportunity for them to come into the classroom and really impact the kids. And that's slowly, slowly changing, but I think that's another issue. And then the wrong thinking that I mentioned earlier, that kids just can't understand things. And so we don't bother with giving them application or asking them to serve or helping them grow in their faith until they're about 12, by which time they have already developed their worldview and it's too late. And Barna says that the most crucial years for developing a worldview are between the ages of 5 and 12. And if we miss those years, we've missed the boat. And then the one that Carolyn came up with was the American lifestyle, which is such a huge one, and one that I think Jim mentioned last night. You know, we can get real lazy. This is a very comfortable society, and we're into personal peace and affluence. So we can be apathetic and complacent and not worry about the people who are lost. Thomas says it's easy to pick and choose what we want from the scriptures and somehow neglect the rest. Sometimes we think we know what's best without even seeking God's wisdom because we don't have enough time, you know. Not that we purposely overlook it, but we're busy and we often think we know what works best for our family. And that's what's at the heart of her book, giving you creative ideas to use the essentials of scripture to build that as your foundation for your family. But this is hard work because it requires that you're intentional. You have to plan it. You have to educate the kids. And it doesn't just happen, you know, by sending our kids to Sunday school once a week. It's something that needs to be built into our families. And it's impossible in this culture unless we're actively involved in a body and accountable to other people and seeking out His wisdom and spending time with Him. Does anybody else think of any other stumbling blocks to kids, really?
I was thinking about these things that you listed, too, and how it's all so intertwined. Like, I know our children's program we have here, it really does teach the kids and equip them, and then that builds on what they're able to do. You know, when we value the kids and value the education we give them and then encourage them to go out there and use it, they want to come back and learn even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we had an experience recently where we have this Japanese girl who lived with us for a couple of years, and she comes over for dinner every Wednesday night now. And my kids are 4 and 5. They've been attending OASIS since they were babies, and they've acquired so much knowledge, and it's really cool because we try to get into spiritual conversations with this Japanese girl, and we have had a lot of different conversations, and she's starting to read the Bible and stuff. And my daughter, who's 4, decided she wanted to pray for this girl. And so she had a little piece of paper that she did at OASIS. They said, you know, pray or ask one person about Jesus or something. And she put her name down. And so we've been praying about it. And one night at dinner, she just turned to her and she goes, Satoko, do you have Jesus in your heart? And she said, well, no, I'm still thinking about God. And the whole dinner, the rest of the dinner, my kids explained all about God and Jesus. I mean, they laid out everything to her. And they knew so much and were participating in that. And my husband and I were just like, oh, cool. You know, they had it right. You know, there were a couple funny things that they said, but everything was right on. And I just thought, how awesome that we have this program that values them so much, that teaches them that, and then teaches them the ethos to go out and share it with people. And I think when we develop that at home, too, I see how it just builds on itself. And, you know, with the VBS, teaching them to go out and really do it, I think that thing about undervaluing children, really, if we were undervaluing children, then we would just be letting them have fun and
And that, you know, what you have to say really isn't that important.
Yeah. It's nice that you
asked that. You know, and I think it's interesting in this culture, too, I think about, you know, do we really, we don't undervalue, you know, we don't want to leave them with babysitters, we want to give them the best things and, you know, all of that, but we don't really respect the fact that they have the ability to be used by God in many, you know, in many situations, so.
Yeah, I know that even as with my daughter, when I was a very much younger Christian, with a relative of mine, when I was younger, I was much more wanting to reach her out and speak about Jesus, and for quite a while she was telling me, don't even say the word Jesus to me anymore. So for years I would not say it and just continue to pray about it. And when I had had a daughter, I would continue to pray and see if my daughter could even reach her. I was even praying about that before I had her. And I think it was even, she's just turned five, I think it was even when she was three or four, she started talking to her about Jesus, and now she talks to her all the time about it, and I leave it with her, with this relative, and just continue to pray about that.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
My son, I was just thinking when you said fourth grade, and you said you're talking about letting them share the gospel and stuff, and he's always been, I always homeschooled him, and he's, you know, he'll just tell everybody, you know, everything he's learned, and our pastor at our church says, oh, I think he's going to be a preacher when he grows up. Well, this year he just turned 9, and I'm seeing a change in him. Like, he's backing up, he's hanging out with his buddies, he's bored when he's in Sunday school, so I can see that already, where he's being drawn in by other kids in the church and stuff, where, you know, he asked last week, we were at the church, and he asked if we can go to the altar, and I said, oh, you want me to go pray with you? And he said, no, I want to go pray for, and he was going to pray for one of the men.
Wow.
Came in. I said, you go up there, because, you know, cool. I don't want to discourage that, because I could already see him being drawn in from different things in the, you know, in our world, and, you know, and even though they're all in church together, there are some kids that are going to come in and draw him in with them, and they're not going to be listening, and I could already see that happening at that age. So it was interesting you said that, because just finding something that he can do in the church to train him to be a spiritual leader, you know, because I'm always thinking, oh, you're too young, honey, you know,
yeah. It's so easy, because that's the way the culture really thinks about
it. Right now is when he needs it, because he always wanted to do it.
Right.
He wasn't afraid of that. Now he's feeling that fear.
Right.
He needs to do that, you know.
Right, and helping him find another peer who also has that same burden for people.
Yeah.
Because at that age they do, they're going to be sucked into what the peers do. So if they can become leaders in that way in reaching out, even praying for new kids that come into the their classes and looking for those new kids and deciding that they're going to be hospitable, and they become very cliquish when they get a little older.
Yeah, when you first said that, you know, their worldview is developed by the age of 12, you know, it's shocking. I mean, it's just, it's really shocking. But then it makes total sense when you look at the problems with, you know, kids being having these issues with the computers and just so many of the cultural issues that we as parents have to deal with, you know.
Culture's thrown at them from a very young age. All the media, everything, you know. And so the more, the more we can have
younger
the influence.
Right.
It is the younger. It's used to be if you could get them by fifth grade, you're okay. Now we're saying third grade. We really have to.
Yeah, because this year, I was thinking when she was just saying that, I had he totally wanted to do everything that mom would want him to do, and he made everyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he started. I just see a difference in him. I tell him his dad that he wants to hang out. You know, he wants to do all the things that mom says. Now, when I say something, he's like, "Oh, mom," you know. Oh, you don't want me on a four wheeler? No,
yeah.
You're too young. You know, now you're starting to debate these issues. You know, well,
everybody
else is doing it. That's nine.
Well, yeah.
That's why, you know,
it's really.
You get a hold of him right about this age. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just discussing that a couple weeks ago.
How, right.
You know, we've got to get him because he's not enjoying. He just changed his Sunday school classes already. Just changed age. I can see a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It's really true. Well, some of the rewards, they're developing lifelong habits, you know, and I think you can build on your son's habits that he's had before and help take him back to the fact that, you know, think of how cool that was and how much fun it was. And one of the cool things with our student assistants is that the minute, you know, we started our new program here last Sunday, or last Saturday and Sunday, last weekend, and these kids are up that are going into sixth grade or the down at our booth, can I have a student assistant packet? I want to sign up to be a student assistant. And because they've watched these older kids and they look up to them and they think this is really cool to be able to come and teach the other kids. So these kids are teaching in VBS. They're actually teaching lessons and a part of the VBS. And one of the things Barnett says is that habits related to the practice of one's faith develop when we're young and change surprisingly little over time. There are going to be bumps in the road, but if you've had, you know, they've had that pattern and those habits, those are going to tend to move with them. And I was talking to Holly McCallum a couple weeks ago, and they do the college ministry, and we've been around long enough now that we've raised up a generation of kids. And she's seeing these kids in the college group, kids that were raised in this church, the ones that have developed the habit, the lifestyle of reaching out to other people, sharing their faith with other people, are the ones that are vital. They're the ones that are thinkers. They're thinking, they're questioning, they're going back to the Word to find out, because they're being confronted with some pretty, you know, hard arguments, but they're thinking about it, whereas the ones that aren't so actively involved are bored, and they're not vital thinkers. They'll give you the stock answer, but they won't. They aren't excited about their faith. Barna says that Christian faith is not meant to be hoarded but shared. Our faith is founded on the notion of expressing love in real ways, not simply discussing it as an intellectual concept. Building the habit of service at a young age tends to alter the attitudes and expectations of young people, resulting in a lifelong practice of helping others. The younger we instill a mindset and lifestyle, the more ingrained they become. And it's really true. I've seen it happen. So we have to guard against, too, I think, the focus on the compliant kids, the ones who don't give us any trouble. Because the ones we want committed believers, not compliant believers. They're the ones that are going to have the depth of belief. And so we need to be patient. But one of the rewards of being patient and working with and letting those kids that are kind of off the wall sometimes and teaching them how to serve, they're going to be our real leaders. We also, the reward is a fulfilled life. The kids who are exposed to and embrace godly lives have the lifelong benefit of the fulfillment of God's blessings and the significant opportunities for service. And, you know, that's a clear thing. We have these college kids who are now leading high school groups and actually having, you know, really significant impact on these kids' lives. And then the high school kids in Oasis and the junior high and, you know, on down. And the health of the church. And we had a gal at the other workshop who is actually building a church on the children. She's in a poor living in a poor neighborhood over in the west side. And she said the parents aren't interested, but the kids, and the parents are letting them come, and the kids are excited. And she said, we figure that's going to be our church. That's how we're going to build this church, because these kids are the ones that are coming and excited. And Barna says the greatest hope for the local church lies in raising godly children. Every year, tens of thousands of parents are brought to faith in Christ because one of their children was so changed by his or her own relationship with the Lord that the parent could not ignore the power of Christ any longer. Further, we have discovered through their research that peer evangelism among young children, one kid leading another kid to the foot of the cross, is one of the most prolific and effective means of evangelism in the nation. You know, do we think we're the ones that have to always explain it? And, you know, Zoe's got a good example, and Carolyn's got a great example of her daughter persevering. So why don't you tell?
Yeah, the little girl, she, you know, who's been a friend of hers really since they were both infants, that we've been reaching out to the parents, and the parents haven't been interested. But Madeline, you know, when she was 4 or 5, came in with this little girl. You know, she had her for a play date, and she had her little toddler Bible with the colored pictures, and she turned to the page with Jesus on the cross, and she's like, "Mommy, Amy doesn't know about Jesus. Help me tell her more about Jesus." And Amy's sitting right there. And a couple weeks ago, Amy was over for a play date, and she laughed, and Madeline and my younger daughter, Lily, who's 6, came running in there, "Mom, Amy just accepted Christ." And I'm like, "What?" And Madeline took her through, you know, kind of beginning to end, cradle to grave, with, you know, why Jesus came and how we're sinners, and you know, she needed to ask for Christ's forgiveness and that Jesus would enter her heart. And she asked her if she really wanted to pray that. And this girl said, "Well, yeah, I really would like to accept Christ." And Madeline said, "We have to be really serious about it. This isn't just something you play." She said, "No, I really want to do it." And then my littlest one, she goes, "Yeah." And then after she prayed, Madeline told her that the angels were having a party for her in heaven right now. So it was really cool because, you know, my daughter has grown up with an idea that this is what we're to be doing, is telling people about Christ. And it was really cool for me that she modeled leading somebody to Christ to her 6-year-old sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was in the house in the kitchen watching them play on the trampoline, had no idea this crazy conversation was going on.
Yeah. So it's a cool thing. I hear frequently of kids that are doing that. One, about a month ago, a girl in our 4th grade class had gone to a track meet, and she was sharing with her friend there, and her friend was so excited she accepted Christ, and then they went and told her 16-year-old sister that she accepted Christ. So it was just they're so excited, you know, that's the reward, to be able to see God work supernaturally in another person's life, and he used them. I mean, talk about significance. And they really experienced that. Go ahead. No.
I think, too, our children, when they are the ones who, you know, are caught early enough and they're learning to reach out to other children and evangelize, they don't have the inhibitions that we as adults do. They don't have the distractions, the busyness, they're just not as caught up.
Mm-hmm. All the baggage, yeah.
Totally baggage that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't bring it all to the table. That's the coolest thing, I think, to see.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I've learned a lot from watching kids. Witness to their friends, I'll tell you.
When I say to my kids, just keep bringing them, the kingdom
of Jesus.
They're like, what?
How could that be?
They can't even conceptualize it, you know, not having this.
Yeah.
And then they're like, wow. That's like saying they don't have a roof over there.
Right. It is. It's worse.
Right.
Yeah, and then you say, like, with the baggage, they don't have, like, you know, as we get older, we learn some things, like, we want to hide or things like that, whereas the kids have not learned any of that yet.
Right.
We have a friend who the wife has accepted Christ, but the husband has not, and she has been bringing her son has accepted Christ, and I just see that through praying for both of them, I could see her son bringing his father.
Mm-hmm. His father's going to watch and see his life change, and it's a cool thing.
I just think it's one more reason that, you know, to get in there earlier with the kids, and, you know, why the VBS programs could be such a great tool for reaching out to other kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So helping our kids develop that purpose through VBS, I mean, we're giving them a lifestyle, or helping them develop a lifestyle and a vision for significant work, a passion, you know, when they see or they talk to a friend who just led someone to the Lord and they're excited about it, experiencing God's power and His provision. You know, when they're disappointed because their friend didn't come, and wrestling that through that with God. Why didn't you bring someone, you know, and having to learn to persevere and be persistent and patient with God's timing. And then as they get older and can learn to serve in significant ways in the classroom, welcoming the new kids, and actually then being able to teach the other kids, and they're learning that they can contribute value to the community in a significant way. And we're giving them value when we use their skills and gifts and enable them to work as members of a team. We're facilitating their growth. And then there's the pleasure and joy of doing God's work, and we've talked about that. You know, that's a level of fulfillment unlike anything they'll ever experience. When you get that buzz of being able to see how God has actually used me, it's very contagious and it's addictive. So, and then the equipping. We're equipping kids not only to embrace Christ, but also to accept His call to spread the good news, and to they're learning to confidently share because they're learning to depend on God. And they're going to have to get broken of their arrogance and their self-sufficiency. And what better way to do that than to put them up, you know, learning to teach and to grow in that way. And like has been already said, you know, Barna says kids are far more comfortable sharing their faith than adults. And our responsibility is to prepare and encourage them and see how the Holy Spirit uses them then in that process. We get the privilege then of watching the fruit of our labor and watching them teaching us, you know, how the Spirit is going to use them. So with that as a background, and in the last 5 years, we started thinking, okay, how are we going to, you know, what are we doing? We really want this to be an outreach. That's the ethic of our church. This needs to be an outreach thing. And in the way to get that message across, we decided we would start a new policy that you can't come to VBS unless you bring a guest. And I'll tell you, that was a hard one to sell, because that traditional view is it's our right as the families in the church to bring our kids to VBS. And that was really why I started VBS, you know, but the more I thought about it and saw how many different things you can do with it, and our kids have the opportunity every week and in their homes and in their schools, the ones that go to the Xenos schools, to hear about Christ. Why would we take up a place in VBS when there are kids out there who have never heard the truth? And can't we instill then in our kids a lifestyle that's far more meaningful than coming and having a good time, but to bring their friends to also hear about Christ. So we on our brochure, it says that priority is given to guests and Xenos children bringing guests. And it has taken us 5 years to develop that ethic, and we still have a few people that question, and we're all made of flesh. I've even thought about trying to figure out ways when my granddaughter didn't have someone to bring. Oh, how could I? It's like, no, don't do that. Yes, I'll teach. That's what I'll teach, and then they'll get in. So, I mean, it's something to consider. It's something to consider.
Well, it was the attendance that year compared to the years before.
It wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had, you know, more people. We've finally gotten it to the point. Last year, I think we were almost to 50%. 50% were guests. And I'm not going to say that for sure they were all non-believers or kids that had never heard about Christ, because I do know that one family brought someone from another church, you know. And, you know, that's going to happen, and you got to let go of that. But I think the more we promote, you know, when people call us and say, well, what do I need to do to get my kid in, you know? Even if you're a teacher, how about, you know, helping your child to think through and pray through? Ask to put someone in your life, in your path, that might want to come. And don't look at, oh, I'm going to be a teacher so that I can make sure my kid can get in. But let's help develop an ethic with our kids of lifestyle evangelism.
A lot of our volunteers, I've noticed,
I mean, if you're a volunteer, your kid gets in. But a lot of the volunteers are bringing guests.
Mm-hmm. You know, which is another indication that the ethic is catching on.
And we've had some people call in and say, I can do either the morning or the evening session, but if I come in the morning, I have to have child care. But if I come in the evening, I can serve, and my husband will watch our kids because we don't have any guests this year. And so they voluntarily take their kids out of spots so that guests can get in because they know that, you know, our space is limited. So
it's, yeah, as I said, it's... It's a hard one to sell, and there was a gal here this morning who said, I don't know that we could. And you know, it's one of those things that you kind of throw out, and if you can get the whoever is in the higher places and, you know, talk to them and get that ethic going with them, then. But it's something to consider, and it's even if you don't make it as dogmatic that you can't come unless you have a guest, really. Starting out by asking your kids, bring somebody.
Some sort of,
yeah, well, that's true.
You know, free SUV fill up with every
guy. There you go. You better have a pretty big budget.
Free salvation for your guests. Bring a guest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so how can we make sure that they get in, and let's prioritize making sure our guests get in. So as we get registrations, hey, if they're guests, they're getting in a room. Mm-hmm. If you're bringing a guest, you and your guest are in a room because we want your child to help follow that guest up. But if you're just a regular member of the church and your child isn't bringing any guests, can we put you on a waiting list and make sure that we get all the guests in before we put you in the classroom?
Yeah, it's probably not as dogmatic and doesn't seem as harsh. As, yeah, but it's something to consider. And one thing that we were also able to do by doing this, by making it totally evangelistic, is that we could simplify things. We wrote 3 years worth of curriculum, and we recycle it. And so all the costumes, all the things that, you know, take so much time, the preparations, the sets for this, you know, the skits and the costumes and whatever all else you have, coming up with new crafts every time and all of that, it's all done. We've got a guy in the fellowship who gives us storage space at his warehouse, and we just go pull those things out. And, you know, and then people that say, but you've already done that. Well, yeah, we have already done it, but there's some kids out there that never heard that. And some of our kids get excited because they remember, oh, you're doing Captain Blampants or Pirates of Blampants. This Captain Crank, yes, that's surfing. That, you know, they can remember some of the skits and the songs and the crafts, and they're excited about, you got to come and you got to hear, do this and be with this. So it even also helps with the asking because the kids kind of know what they can remember from 3 years ago. So that, the expense goes way down because once you've made the costumes and done all that, it's done and you can store them. Our structure, just to give you a brief overview, it's children who are turned three by last or will turn four by October 1st this year, and those entering the fourth grade. And we have three teachers per class, and then we also have teens. But there are some teens who are actually serving as an adult position. Our entire drama team is middle school and high school students. They do it all, and they do a great job, very good. And we do limited attendance. And I don't know, I know some people we were talking to this morning were, you know, they just take everyone who comes, and I'd love to be able to do that. I just don't know how you do that without having chaos in the classroom, and, you know, the teachers can't really relate to the kids. We have a big group teaching, and then they get into small groups, but if you have a small group of 15 kids, you know, I don't know how you can really learn to relate. You can get any content in to teach the kids, but you know, do you guys have limited attendance, or do you just take?
What
so how does that work?
What is your limited attendance?
So we have, 17 for preschool?
For the preschool, kindergarten, and first grade classrooms, we try and keep it 15 to 20. And then the older grades, 25, 26.
In each one?
In each classroom.
We have a maximum of 16 classrooms that we can run. So, you know, we close off. I mean, and you might go one or two over, but that's just based on experience working with the teachers who've said it was too many kids. You know, we couldn't handle this many kids in the amount of space that we have available.
So we weren't really able to accomplish anything. But I'd love to hear how you guys do it.
We rotate stations. Our preschool is totally separate. They have, I think, four or five stations that they rotate within. We can hold 80 preschoolers. We're thinking this year is probably cut that off this year.
Oh, you are kind of cut it off?
Well, we won't cut it off. I think we'll get close to that. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think this, after this year, is probably when we're going to start rethinking.
So you have like a craft station, mm-hmm. snack station.
Right, exactly.
And they rotate through those
right,
things.
The kids,
okay.
Right, and they rotate through there. And we have them broken down into, like when they come to craft, they will be in four or five groups. And they will have one or two leaders. So you might get 40 kids at a time, but they will be with,
they all have their own leaders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we have our teams, and they go into the classroom. Like, our classroom is the hub. Mm-hmm. And so everything happens in the classroom, except in the morning the kids come in, and they go and listen to the music in the auditorium and sing, and then they have the drama, and they go back to their classrooms, and that's like teaching, the craft, the snack, the games. The
games go outside.
Well, games they go mm-hmm. outside for, but yeah. So we have not stations, but mm-hmm. we have teams
right.
that come in the classroom.
And we do just the opposite.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you have bigger spaces?
Yeah, we utilize the four largest. Well, the games are outside, and the mm-hmm. snacks are outside. So we only need two rooms inside. We utilize our largest rooms.
And how many total kids do you have at your Vacation Bible School?
We're projecting 250.
Okay. And through which grades?
We go through six.
Ah.
That's how
mm-hmm.
our regular children's ministry is right now. Our middle school doesn't start till fourth grade. Ages 3.
And the older kids seem to enjoy it. We found that the older kids were, you know, they thought the songs were too babyish and all that, and that's why we started at, and that actually when we cut it back down to fourth grade, we started a new once a month program for fourth and fifth graders during the school year called, the kids named it, the boys call it Melee and the girls are Explosion. And so that's their outreach opportunity. But then they get to help out in VBS, and so that helps us with more volunteers and we can take more of the younger kids. So that's how, that's...
Yeah, we have to really think that through. I mean, like the crafts and everything. I mean, we're thinking, okay, is it different? And we don't get as many sixth grade boys.
Uh-huh.
Sure. The girls, you know, they
yeah.
need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're in seventh grade, of course, they want to come back. And
right, right.
Because uh-huh. they just love being involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Yeah, but they're used to, like I said, they're involved in our regular children's ministry, mm-hmm. so that's kind of their mindset.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I see a lot more of them inviting their friends when they're younger, though.
Mm.
I think the older ones we get are probably ones that their parents are working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're involved in whatever.
Yeah, well, we were getting some complaints about the older kids saying, and it's so funny because they were complaining because they didn't like the babyish songs and all the hand motions. When they're volunteering and leading the little kids, they're doing it all. You know, it is so funny.
Yeah.
When they're on the leadership
right.
side of it, then it's just fine. But if they're just the little kids there, you know, it was really an interesting dynamic. I just stood back and laughed the first year after these kids, knowing the ones that had complained about it the year before. Now that they were student assistants, they're right in there. So that was a cool thing to see. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they'll say, you know, they didn't admit it or they wouldn't want to admit it, but I think if you
mm-hmm.
watch them and they
right,
are
they're having a good time.
We don't send them around with the younger kids. You know, we're very strategic.
Mm-hmm.
With them and older kids
yeah.
and stuff, so they're not with the babies.
Right.
But they do. They
love it. They don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Problem,
right. Yeah.
Still that kid.
Right. Well, there are a lot of adults that still want to do it. Yeah, so anyway, that's our structure. And then, you know, as we developed, we started an outreach to parents. And the first 2 years, we were at our school down in Clintonville. And when we built this building, we had a snack area. So we had this really creative gal that came and decorated that all and made pretty food, fruit and pastries and stuff and coffee, and so that the parents could come and kind of hang out. And then we started opening the book table, so, and having books that for kids that would be in parenting books that they could check out. And then we've always ended the program with what used to be just an ice cream social. Now it's a picnic for the morning session and ice cream in the end, and that for the evening one. And that works out well because we've got our believing parents who are there to mix it up and, you know, gauge the other parents in conversations. 3 years ago, I think 3 or 4 years ago, we added lunch and dinner for a small charge because everybody's exhausted after the morning, and to have lunch ready for you. You know, we go out on our deck and they grill stuff or have something there for a nominal fee. And that also helps the kids then can talk about what they learned and the parents then can. No, it's work. The guests especially. I mean, most we want it. We want the guests to be able to come and.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's for the workers too. Yeah. Though I mean, I think it was a twofold thing. We decided to do it because everybody was tired. But even the guests, you know, were ready for that. And then with the dinner thing, it starts at 6:30 at night, the evening session. So to have something, if people are coming right from work, they've got some. They can have something to eat before they get started.
You can say. People are really focused on, okay, my daughter's bringing her friend, and her friend's mom's going to be bringing her to drop her off, and so maybe I can get my friend, you know, as a mom, maybe I can get my friend to kind of hang out and check out the church. And so it's really great to have, you know, something that, you know, she can do. A lot of times VBS is viewed as a babysitting service. Ooh, I can drop my kids off and go do something for 3 hours. So we try and do things in Susan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have a session here, but we try and get the parents to stay and give, you know, us more opportunities to do, you know, some more evangelism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last year, a gal just came up with the idea, how about if we do something in the youth building with the parents? And it was a last-minute kind of thing, and we offered Pilates and scrapbooking, and we got it. Yeah, we got a few moms up there, even a mom accepted Christ up there talking to another one of the women. And so that was a cool thing, and so Susan, being our evangelistic visionary, has come up with some great ideas that we're going to do this year. So.
Yeah, well, last year it was successful with a little bit of planning, and it was, you know, kind of I think somebody just had a brainstorm, and it was like at the last minute they did these Pilates, hike, scrapbooking, playgroup in our big youth facility. So we're doing pretty much the same thing that we did last year, but with a lot more forethought. We're putting it in our brochure so parents know what's going on when they're signing their kids up. And you know, if I'm inviting a guest, I can have some planning. So, you know, asking the mom, you know, hey, would you want to stick around and do this? But two of the exciting things that we're trying out this year is we're adding a curriculum review, which is just going to be a half an hour session. We're going to offer it twice during the week where parents, after the music in the morning and the music in the right after things get started with the kids in their classroom, parents can come and listen to just a half an hour, basically a review of the curriculum that the kids are going to learn throughout the week, so that if we have non-believing parents, they can come and hear all the content and get the gospel message as well. And then we're also offering, Zenos offers a 5-week basic Christianity class, and we're paring that down into 3 1-hour sessions, Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning. So that I know that I have small children, and a lot of the moms that I have come in contact with through my playgroup and stuff are just really spiritually hungry, and it's sometimes hard to get them to come out to church, or we have a Bible study at our house. It's even hard to get them to come to that on the evening, but for something during the day where they can learn just some basic things about the Word, we're hoping to draw some of those parents in, and then hopefully it'll lead to them accepting Christ and wanting to walk with the Lord. So we're just hopeful to be able to draw in people while we've got them here, to show them hospitality, get that parents hearing the Word, and at the same time that their kids are. So we'll see how it goes.
So, well, yeah.
We're going to
be
sending a schedule also with her. Like I said, last year was not planned as much, so this year we have the advantage of, in the registration packets that we send each kid, we're going to schedule and some information from parents. You know, here's what we're going to do. Invitation to the parents. We'll see.
So, yeah, we'll see. Talk to us in the beginning of July. Yeah. We'll let you know how it worked, what happened. So, basically, in conclusion, VBS is just an extension of what we try to do all year. Our kids are bringing kids to our program, and this is a way that they can, for a whole week, bring their friends and get them more engaged. The mission statement that has been revised this year, because we are talking families, not just kids, that it's a summer outreach program where families can invite children to learn about Jesus through Bible stories, music, crafts, games, and drama, and where families can experience the love of our local Christian body through biblical lessons and fun activities. So it's a twofold thing. We're giving our kids an opportunity to reach out to other kids, and we're getting other kids who don't know Christ an opportunity to hear about him. And then for the adults, they're going to be reached through the different hospitality things, the outreach things. We even strategically place some non-Christian parents in roles, craft team or snack team, that they want to volunteer. And so they get to hear the gospel and hang out with the other parents. And so also, tell them about the letter you're going to send to the Xenos parents so the kids are registered.
Yeah, one of the things that we thought about was, you know, what else can we do to help Xenos parents prepare their kids to serve at Vacation Bible School? Not just come to really have a great week, but to really serve. And so we're putting together a letter that will go only to the Xenos families, just encouraging them to talk with their kids beforehand about, you know, what's going to be happening during the week and the role that the children have an opportunity to play before, during, and after that week, before that they can be inviting friends, praying for them, praying for other guests, you know, praying for the whole Vacation Bible School, but then how do they conduct themselves when they're at Vacation Bible School, to have an other-centered focus, not just to go in and, oh, I need to have a great time myself, and, ooh, this is fun and stimulating, but to try and help instill the idea in their minds, you know, look around for the kids that aren't attached, look around for the one that's sitting in the corner and doesn't really want to play, and, you know, develop an ethos of being able to go up to people that you don't know and, hi, my name's so-and-so, you know, and you know, even my kindergartner can do this, and she's a shy girl. She needs a lot of encouragement, though, but she's also a great prayer warrior, so, you know, she can focus there, too. But then afterwards, too, encouraging the children and the parents, okay, now, just because Vacation Bible School is over, maybe your guest even accepted Christ. The work doesn't stop there. The next step is to try and incorporate them into the church where they can learn how to grow, or to bring them back into the church where they can continue to be exposed to the Word of God. What does Rick Warren say? It takes 7.2 times of hearing the gospel before.
We were just saying that at lunch.
So, you know, but again, rather than just assuming, oh, yeah, but to really, again, be intentional, to really strategically think through, you know, honey, when you go to Vacation Bible School, you have an awesome role that God wants you to play, because you know Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, and you can share the love of God with the other children who are there. You know, those kids, even though they may be very young, are going to notice, gee, that girl was really nice to me. We carpool, but I had a couple little girls together with Anne's daughter, who's younger, and Anne's daughter said to the other two, she goes, why are you always so nice to me? And the girl she was saying this to were 5 and 6. You know, and it's like, these are children who are learning how to love other people. And you know, mine is what, 4 or 5?
She's five.
Is recognizing, wow, these children are kind to me. I really like that. And just that's an opportunity that they have to be witnesses.
Mm-hmm. So the fruit, that's one place where we're working on, especially following up. Following up with our people who are bringing people and to find out. I did finally get a report, was able to run a report on since 98, the kids that have come and how many have been incorporated into the church. But the whole, if the purpose is to grow the church and to reach the world, then we want to find out if we're being effective, because if we're not, then we need to find another way to go about it. But that's something we're going to work harder on after this VBS to find out how many of the kids over the past years. And I've heard of, there was a gal last fall who called me, and she said she had a guest who brought her ADHD, I think, son, and the teachers were awesome in allowing him to come and taking, you know, help incorporating him and helping him. And this woman was not the least bit interested in Christ and church or anything. But every time they were together, she'd heard her tell somebody about how cool it was that, you know, because nobody else would let her son into their program. And she said, you know, they just were so nice to him, and they let him come every day. Finally, last fall, she came. And they called and said, well, he's coming, you know, can we prepare for that? So we talked to the teachers and got them all prepared. And so she's now involved in the church, but it took 2 years, you know, of God working that in her mind and working in her heart. But that was one of the things that really encouraged her to check us out. Last year, 50 children prayed to receive Christ, so that was a pretty cool thing. And
is the prayer group new?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had it in the past. I've been in the conference room. I used to go through and pray for every one of the guests during the morning, and I'd invite people to come, and mm-hmm. Linda Jones came 1 year with me, and
yeah.
I think Robert Baker came one time, too.
I was told last night, now, since we have two groups, we have the morning and
mm-hmm.
the evening, I was told last night, we do have a full group in the morning. Mm-hmm.
Very cool,
that,
very cool.
What we will do is each group in the morning, we'll go to every classroom and get the names of the definite new people there that were brought there, and other people in the groups, the prayer groups, will continue to pray for those and any other situations that are needed for that. And I don't know other situations that are needed.
Yeah. Yep, it's a cool thing. See the fruit of prayer. So, and last year we had two moms, one mom up here and one mom, I think she was helping out in the playground with the playground duty, and she was talking to one of the other moms and received Christ. And you knew of another situation.
Yeah, a woman called me yesterday and said, hey, this woman, you know, her child came to VBS last year for the first time, and we were talking to her, and she received Christ last year because her child was learning all these things, and said to her friend, so yeah, what's keeping you from making a decision for Christ? And she ended up deciding that week that she would receive Christ, and now she's going to be helping out this year at the school. So.
Cool thing. So, any other thoughts you all have, or questions, or suggestions for us?
Yeah.
We certainly.
I'm just curious, do you guys charge a fee?
Mm-hmm. We charge $20 per child and the maximum of 40 per family.
And so that's for gas or attenders?
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys do it? Free.
Do you?
It's in our budget. Yeah. We have to be self-sustaining. So.
How about you, Nikki?
It's free. It's just in our
mm-hmm.
Having something for the parents to do when they come in, so they're not just dropping kids off. And like we have
child care that will come in, you know, even for like our services, you know, they'll just drop their kids off, you know, if we have something going on. And so this would be a great way of getting to minister to parents in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the ones who will stay around for the activities often have younger children who are too young for VBS,
right.
And we will accommodate their babysitting needs too.
Oh, okay.
So if you've got somebody who wants to take the basic, I talked to a woman who wants to take the basic Christianity, but she has two smaller kids, and we're like, well, baby, you know, we'll take care of them.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Not a problem.
And your VBS is just 1 week,
mm-hmm.
5 days. And so you have like a small group kind of setting where the parents can come in and learn. You said that basic Christianity.
Yeah.
Is that like a small group?
Yeah, it'll be, well, hopefully not too small.
Hey, if it's two people, that's a good start.
It's going to be, you know,
you're kidding.
A smaller environment.
Really, maybe for that range.
It could be.
Maybe to get to
that. I envision 25 people coming, but I envision it'll be somewhere between 20 and 80 attending. And encouraging, like, the bringer being the guest who's bringing their kid, and then the adult bringer would maybe attend with their guests, so that would help with follow-up. You know,
so do they decide on that group, or going to like the scrapbooking group, or, I mean, you're going to have several things?
We're
going to
have several things, and we're going to try not to overlap them too much, so that there's not really decisions that have to be made.
Oh, so they'll get to do both?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like with the curriculum review, it's really only half an hour, so they could do that, and then if they wanted to go over and scrapbook, they could do that. With the basic Christianity, to make that.
It's a little bit more of a commitment. And we put it on our registration materials.
Yeah.
You know, these are free activities. Let us know if you're interested.
Okay.
So that as our registrations are coming in, you know, we're kind of getting an idea, you know, who's interested and what they're interested in.
Yeah. Because with the scrapbooking or other things, you can have fellowship and ideas helping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be neat to do that towards the end. That way, you know, they can do the basic
Mm-hmm.
Talk,
right.
Scrapbook,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think about that material?
Yeah.
And
yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, in the curriculum review, I mean, basic Christianity, you know, it's kind of like a deeper step. People who are, I'd really like to check out what Christianity means. The curriculum review, the idea there is we do send home a flyer every day with this is what we taught in your child's class. But I'm the kind of mom that I grab all those papers and I got a kid and I got my purse and I got this and that, and those papers end up somewhere, you know, at the bottom of the deep well. And I said, well, what if we had, you know, as a parent coming to a church that I don't attend, doesn't that sort of appeal to your sense of nurturing for your child that you could learn, you know, what they're being taught? It's sort of kind of a no-brainer that you should be willing to hear what your children are being taught. And I'm also more of a visual learner where I'd rather have people tell me than sit and like read something. So, you know, in some sense, I'm trying to appeal to their, you know, caretaking nature of their children that, yeah, I really ought to invest
be a good
in
idea.
At least hearing what my kids are being taught.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to seem that apathetic. I don't want to. So, you know, for 30 minutes, it doesn't seem quite the commitment. It's not a class. You know, you just come in and it's right after the drama. So, and we have one of our most gifted women teachers who's going to be doing that for us. And she's a gifted evangelist and a teacher as well. And so hopefully, I'm really hoping that we see a fair number of parents doing that and probably a smaller subset being willing to do the basic Christianity,
mm-hmm.
which is the free 1 hour commitment. So, and there's free food too.
Yeah, free food and free babysitting. I mean, what?
Yeah, yeah.
What
more?
Mm-hmm.
My child, you know, loved it, and I just, you know, like, they will see the love of God through
mm-hmm.
our interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how our hospital
well, that's like
that.
Tom Stipe said this morning, you know, it's walking and talking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I brought a guest years ago, and it was Ann McDaniel's first year serving in VBS as a new believer, and my guest had said, oh, I met the nicest woman at the bookstore, and she, you know, Ann really was so hospitable to my guest that my guest ended up bringing her husband to check out church. They both came to our home church.
You know, that was pretty cool.
I know another church in our town. They actually they start their VBS at 5 in the evening. By the time everybody gets off work, 5:30, I'm not sure. But we had went out to eat in another town that's close by, about 15 minutes away, and we had to wait for like an hour just to be seated. And it was me and my husband and my son. And they came over and they said, the waiter came over and said, this family over here would like you to sit with them. If you were from Casey, they thought you they had seen you in Casey. So we went over there and sat down, and they ministered to us, which we were already in our own church.
That's great.
They talked to us about going to their VBS, and they actually have that, like, about dinner time. They make a dinner for kids. It's like macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. And, you know, and the families all come out about that time. And then they do dinner, and then the kids go off in their class. And the adults have a class. And then they meet back up and sing and end it. And I just thought that was
Wow, that's a great idea.
COVID, you know, you eat your dinner there. You don't have to worry about it. You get off work. You just take the kids right there. And
that was a
ministry, I thought.
That is like that reminds me. We are doing some new things in the evening this year, too.
Yeah.
The evening's been a little bit hard because it's been harder to staff it and stuff. So we're incorporating more hospitality this year. And the gal who's helping us just because she's real creative and has a real burden for doing things. So one night I think she's going to do like a Mexican theme. And just the idea, we have this great deck out back and, you know, to get parents to stick around and hang out and have some snacks and visit and whatnot. I think they're going to do, there's not really so much time to do scrapbooking, but they're going to do cards, like make a card with things one night. So
I think we should think about the spa idea next.
There you go. There you go. Right.
I'm not working anymore.
Somebody
else
can
do that. Yeah, right. Mary Kay ladies to do facials. Right. There you go. Yeah, whatever brings them in and makes them feel loved. Well, I guess it's time to quit. Let's pray a minute. And thanks to you all for coming.
God, I thank you for that awesome work you give us to do, reaching out to the lost. Just it is so fulfilling, God, to have a purpose to our lives. And God, it's also exciting to have a vision for imparting that purpose to our children.
Yeah.
I pray you would help us to keep these things we talked about today on our hearts and our minds, think through just how we can be creative and see opportunities to help our kids learn about reaching the lost and playing a vital role in that, God.
Just
thank you for the truth that they are vital in your kingdom. Workers, just as we are, God.
Yes.
Pray you'd help us to teach them that,
and
encourage them with that.
Yeah.
Help them to gain confidence in you about that role they have.
I pray for all the different vacation Bible schools, God, that people we've talked to this morning and this afternoon. You know our communities, you know the children that we can reach out to and their families, God, and you know the unique and individual things that you have in your plan for us as we try and just facilitate these folks coming to know you. I just really pray that we can be open to your leading, Father, that we can really hear your voice guiding us and directing us, and most of all that your name would be glorified and that all of us as Christian workers, God, could really exemplify your love.
Yes.
For people who don't know you yet.
Yeah, Lord, I pray that you'd help us in our own hearts to think through why we do what we do and to be more intentional. I know it's, for me, it's so easy just to...
This presentation is copyrighted, but you may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.